where information of all types is so readily available. People are looking for the answers to life's most important questions, yet the darkness never seems to lift. We at Lighthouse believe that what the world is looking for is actually a person, not an idea. That person is Christ Jesus, not the Jesus in a bottle that grants your wishes, or the Jesus that is powerlessly sitting back wishing he could be part of your life. I'm talking about the Christ Jesus of the Scripture, who is Almighty God. He who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," and also said, "I am the light of the world." It is this Jesus that is only found through the narrow gate. It is he who has the power to dispel darkness. Join us now for the light of the Word as we take a weekly expositional trip through the Scriptures. I'm your host, Pastor Eugene. So let's listen in to Pastor Jim as he opens the Epistle of James.
Stand with me once you found James 3, verse 8. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a relentless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth, blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. I see this kind of broken into two main points that I want to look at today. The first one is about worship. It says there in verse 9, with it we bless our Lord and Father. That word is also translated praise. If you use the Holman version, it would say, we praise our Lord and Father with it. Blessing and praising is what we do to make much of the name of God. And so, I want to look at that as one part. Then the other part is that we use that same tongue for the cursing. But first, let's start with the praise. Why should we praise God? Do you suppose there's a reason? Do you suppose there might be more than one reason? Do you suppose it might be an endless number of reasons that we should praise the Lord? The Scriptures tell us to, don't they? I love to quote one Scripture in particular. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." 1 Chronicles 16, verse 9 says, "Sing to Him, sing praise to Him, tell about His wonderful works." So when we're praising Him, we're praising Him about His wonderful works. We're praising Him about who He is. We are sharing with others the greatness of our God. And I tell you, if you do not see the greatness of our God, you need to come and be introduced to Him. You need to know Him. Because He is a great and mighty God. Psalm 34 and verse 1 says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." The mouth that we use to praise God, we use it to confess, don't we? Confess who He is. To confess His mighty deeds, His wonderful acts. We use it to confess those things that He has done in the past, those things that He has promised, and the revelation that He has given us in His Word. Psalm 66 and verse 2 says, "Sing the glory of His name. Give to Him glorious praise." Our very being is to praise and glorify Him. Our very being is to bring glory to His name and enjoy Him. Oh, brothers and sisters, I want you to enjoy God. I don't want you to separate enjoyment and God. I want those to be one thing that are synonymous, that they go together in your life. There's a lot of people I think that praise God with their mouth, but their heart does not find joy in Him. And so those praises are of no value. The praise that is of value to God, whether it's in our corporate worship or whether it's in private worship, whether it's in the actions that you take throughout the week in your job, your school, or whatever, or whether it's in the middle of Bible study, they're only as good as the heart that enjoys and loves God. And we're to sing of the glory of His name. Several years ago, we did a study on the names of God. In fact, Scott did some of those, Art did some, and I did some. And it was such a joy each week to bring the revelation of God by the names that He has within the Scripture. Because each name shows another attribute, another part of His character. Oh, His glorious character. His glorious name. And so the psalmists are telling us, praise Him. Praise Him with this tongue. Praise Him with our mouths, with our lips. Psalm 66 and verse 17 says, I cried to Him with my mouth. The high praise was on my tongue. The high praise. The high praise of God was on the tongue of the psalmist. Look at David's writings in the Psalms. As you look at the Psalms, even those where he is pleading with God, he recognizes the greatness of God, doesn't he? He recognizes the great value of God. He recognizes that there is no one like Him. In Hebrews chapter 13, Tim read this morning, the 15th verse says, through Him, then let us continually offer up sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips, and acknowledges His name. There are powerless Christian walks because they're walks that are done in the human flesh, and they're powerless. They do not make much of God. When they say something positive and glorifying, so to speak, to God, out of the same mouth they turn around and they curse. Think of the Israelites as they left Egypt and they wandered in the desert. Cynthia and I have been going through Numbers this last week. And as we have been going through Numbers, we see time after time it says, and the people murmured against Moses. But immediately after that, God would say, the people murmured against Me. Moses was simply the servant or the tool of God. Their murmuring, their complaining was against God. Friends, let's offer up praise with our mouth. The fruits of our lips should be God's praises. We should not have a problem praising God in the company of people who do not go to church or do not desire to go to church or even hate those who go to church. Because the praises of God should be flowing from an overflow from the heart. And if they're not, that means the joy has stopped. Or it means that there is no joy. As I was preparing this, every time I got to that line, there is no joy, I thought of the mighty Casey. But God hasn't struck out. God has not struck out. God has always done as He's promised. That alone is worthy of praise. And He has promised to those who are His, to those who are the elect, to those whom He loves, He will save. And if He has saved you, He will fill you. When I was looking through this, and the Psalms are just so filled with verses of praise. But I came across 8 P's to why we should praise God. The first one is the pronouncement. The Word of God commands it. The pronouncement means it is ordained, it is ordered. And the pronouncement is that God's Word commands us to praise Him. It's Revelation 19, verse 5. And from the throne came a voice saying, praise our God, all you His servants, you who fear Him, small and great. That is a commandment, and that is not the only place that it is. The next one is position. He is almighty. He is king. He is ruler. He deserves, because of His position, to be worshipped. I'm always astonished by how many people who profess Christ actually give less respect than people who do not profess Christ. I often, when I'm talking with non-believers, they will try to watch their mouth when they're talking to me. They will try to adjust their behavior, because even though they do not know God, they still have a fear of him at some level. And so they adjust themselves. Oh, but believers so often, things that come from their mouth. But God deserves our praise, our worship, because of his position and who he is. He is awesome. He is God. Third one is power. His power is seen, and his mighty deeds are seen in the creation of the world, at the very least, in mankind, in his acts. How about his power behind the flood, the parting of the Red Sea, fire from heaven? All things are possible in his power. Even the birth of our Savior through a virgin. All things are possible. For his power, he should be worshipped and praised. In the last 10 or 15 or 20 years, I have heard every president praised because of the power of his office. Didn't matter if he was Republican or Democrat, but I've heard every one of them praised for the power of his office. But the office that God holds as God, as Creator, that power is above all, isn't it? Oh, should we praise him for his power? We should also praise him for his personality, number four. His goodness, his righteousness, his attributes, graciousness, compassion, slow to anger, great in mercy. Thank God for who he is. His attributes give us hope and joy, don't they? If he was not the God of hope, if he was not the God of love, and not the God of mercy, and not the God of grace, what would we have? We would have destruction as the only thing before us. The fifth one is his preeminence. He is over all things, because he made all things. He has no rival. He has no equal. There is none to compare to him, the scriptures say. He is in a class by himself. The psalmist speaks of his glorious majesty, his everlasting kingdom, and his dominion. He has a place above all else, doesn't he? We can't compare us to him. Though in the spirit we are made in his image, we are not the image of God. Only Christ is the image of God. Number six, his provisions. Oh, every meal I think of his provision. Every time I have something I need, and he provides it, I think of his provision. He is a great provider of every need that we have. Physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs. Praise the Lord for his provision. Do you know that you can turn to him in times of trouble? No matter how deep the problem is, he will not turn his back on you. I did not say that he would immediately take you out of those problems, but he will carry you through them. Over the last 8 or so weeks, as things have been closed down, we have nurses that we are associated with, and we have nurses from this church, Teresa and Carol. I have a sister that's a nurse, Teresa's sister Melanie. We prayed for all the doctors and nurses, but we named very specifically these ladies. And we prayed that God's provision for them and safety for them throughout the pandemic. Trusting him for these people that we care about so dearly. That he would take care of them. That he would provide everything they needed to get through this. And from all that I have seen, he has, graciously. Number seven, praise him for his presence. You know, to know of his mercy, to know of his provision, to know of his majesty, to know of his power, would almost, not quite, almost seem worthless if it wasn't for the great presence with us, wouldn't it? He says, I am here with you. He is with us. God is all the time with us. He is near to those who call on him. He fulfills our desires according to his will. He saves us. Indeed, his presence gives us comfort, doesn't it? I think of some of the darkest times I have had as a Christian, and the great comfort that came in just knowing that he was there with me, that it was him who was bringing me through with his presence. Now, I don't stand up here telling you like some might that they have seen him in a puff of smoke. But what I do tell you is that he makes his presence known. By the Holy Spirit, we know his presence if we belong to him. And then finally, the eighth one, the final one here is he protects us. The Lord protects us, perseveres us. He destroys the wicked. He perseveres his people. Aren't you thankful? Those who are saved will have the perseverance of the saints, as we say. That those who he has called, those whose lives have been changed by the regeneration of their heart, he will see them through to the end of time and into eternity. Psalm 145, verse 1 says, I extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless you, will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Is that the desire of your heart to profess him and to extol him and to bless his name forever and ever? It should be. It should be. We are called to bless the Lord. Bless him. But the problem is, this verse 8 says, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a relentless evil full of deadly poison. Back in verse 6, it said that this evil, this fire, comes from hell that is in our tongues. So verse 9 says, with it we bless our Lord and Father, which is what we've been talking about. And then it says, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. Oh, the cursings, the foulness that comes from our mouth. I have all sorts of different levels of shock when I hear people use foul language or curse somebody. When I hear them tearing somebody down. One level of shock of this is when I see somebody tearing someone down and I'm thinking, I thought this was a Christian. Doesn't the Bible tell us how to deal with that? But instead, they're ripping them apart. And I must say, as a pastor, I have witnessed other pastors and I have experienced myself when people rip apart the pastors and the leaders of a church. With their tongues, they tear them down. In Ephesians 1, verses 4 to 6, it says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Christ Jesus in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise and glorious grace which he has freely given us in the one he loved. Brothers and sisters, we have received such a great gift. With our tongues, that gift should be exposed, not cursing those around us. You know, there's different ways of using our words, because our tongue and how we use them matters. I was reading an account of a pastor. He was talking about how he was a big fan of the Marvel superhero movies, which I enjoyed several of them myself. But he said that towards the end, in the last couple of movies, he said that the foul language had taken an exponential jump. And he said even in the last one, the mocking of God, or of Jesus himself, took place. He said he was sitting in a theater and he was watching this, and when they were mocking Jesus, he said the boy sitting next to him, little boy, was laughing. And so when he went home, he got on Facebook and he put out on Facebook how upset he was. And he said that's when the real shock came. He said on the Christian pages that my Facebook's on, he said I got blasted. He said that people told him, well, they're just words. They're just words. They don't mean anything. He said that he was told to grow up. He was told that he needed to get a life because he didn't like the mocking of Jesus, and the foul language. But he was most amazed by those who said they were Christian, and yet thought there was nothing wrong with that. He said one person told him that foul language didn't come until the 1500s, so when the scriptures say cursing, it couldn't be talking about foul language. I think the cursing is talking about those things that come out of our mouth that do not bring honor and glory to God. We can have conversations about baseball. We can have conversations about COVID. We can have conversations about presidents and still honor God with what comes out of our mouth. But when things come out of our mouth that dishonor God, it could be in the middle of a conversation about baseball or our presidents or COVID. We have those things come out of our mouth that are curses because they are against God. And if you do not think foul language is against God, then I need to be praying for you very specifically on that. These things are directly against Him. Just as it was against God when they murmured against Moses. We must turn away from that stuff. Ephesians 5 and verse 4 declares, "Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving." Who's he talking to? The Christian. To the brother and sister, there should not be this filthiness coming out of the mouth. The story that I've told before and stands out so much in my mind, when Cynthia and I were talking to a lady at the hospital and a man came up and started talking, and I finally had to ask him, "You seem like an intelligent man. Why do you use so much foul language?" Because it is such a part of our culture, isn't it? I can't remember the last time I walked through Walmart or Dillon's and didn't hear a foul word. It has become such a part of our everyday language as if it was welcomed. There was a story of a pastor down in Indiana. He said that when he was growing up, he and his brother one day were sent down to the barbershop to get a haircut by his mother. He said the barbershop was full, so they ended up sitting in chairs that were kind of behind the door. He said they'd been sitting there for a little bit, and all of a sudden a man came in cursing and drawing everyone's attention. He said that the man started telling stories, one dirty joke after another dirty joke. And the two boys sat there in shock, because just 2 days earlier at church, this man had sung a special about how wonderful God was. They said that their opinion of that man changed that day and was never the same because of what came out of his mouth. They said, yes, when he saw them there, he apologized. But brothers and sisters, we need to catch those things before we have to apologize for them, don't we? Those cursings should not come out of our mouth. Now, when we look at in context, I should say, he's talking about our cursing of the brothers and sisters, those who are in Christ, who are made in the likeness of God. Not just the brothers and sisters, but man. He says, from the same mouth come blessings and cursings. And it should not be so. I know that when these things are flowing and you have no regret over it, I know that there is a deep divide between you and God. Whether that divide is in the fellowship or in the relationship, I do not know. But I know that you are divided from God for that foul stuff about others to come flying out of your mouth. And it should be a warning to us that when we have those things coming out of our mouth, we should be on our knees as quickly as possible, on our faces even, seeking out, "Why, God?" Seeking out, "Please forgive me, Father, because I have sinned." Ephesians 4, beginning in 29th verse. "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion." Only that which builds up. It says, "Give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God." Do you realize when you're tearing people down, if you are His, you are grieving the Holy Spirit of God? Brothers and sisters, I know that we're sinners and we're going to sin. But I know that if we have the Holy Spirit, if we have God, if God has us, then that will grieve us as well. Our sin should grieve us, and we should turn away from it. then James goes to make some very clear points with it. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water, both good and foul water? Comparing our mouths, our tongues, our lips to a spring. What's coming out of it? Proverbs 30 and verse 10 tells us, do not slander a servant to his master, lest he curse you and you be held guilty. Brothers and sisters, we need to watch our heart, which in turn produces, we talked about this last week, produces what flows out of our mouth. What kind of spring are you? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives? This is very pointed. This is very direct. And this is very condemning. Can a fig tree bear olives? Well, it's a pretty simple answer, isn't it? Have you ever seen olives on a fig? Okay, you've probably never seen a fig tree or an olive tree. Have you ever seen pears on an apple tree? You haven't seen it that way, have you? The reason is because an apple tree produces apples. A fig tree produces figs. He goes on. Or a grapevine produce figs? No. He's saying, you're going to produce who you are. Though in sin occasionally, something's going to come out possibly that should not. But if you have the Spirit of God in you, that is going to be the rarity and not the usual. I was talking to a young man the other day, and he was talking about a preacher that he liked. And he liked the preacher because of the way he talked. And that was a preacher who would be willing to curse if he felt it needed to be cursed. It was a preacher who did not hold his tongue, who did not honor God with his tongue. And this boy was telling me how much he enjoyed him because he was real. Brothers and sisters, if being real means being the world, I don't want to be real. To me, being real means being a real Christian and doing what is right and saying what is right with my mouth to everyone. Luke 6, verse 28 says this. Jesus said, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Those who curse you, you're to bless. Doesn't that tell you what our mouths are to be used for, our tongues? If we are a Christian, then what should come out of our mouth is the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit that should be most prevalent is the fruit of love. And love brings blessings. Have you ever had someone love you that it didn't bless you? I didn't mean smother you, but love you and not bless you. It does. Romans 12:14 echoes this. It says, bless those who persecute you and do not curse them. You see, the world around us, it understands an eye for an eye. It understands a tooth for a tooth, a curse for a curse, a blow for a blow. But when they're faced by a Christian who will give a blessing and a prayer to those who have mistreated them, it throws them off. It's hard for them to understand. And whether you see it immediately or not, it will affect who they are. Some good friends of ours recently had somebody that was very rude and nasty to them, and every time they tried to explain something, the person who they were talking to continued to get even nastier and more rude and cutting them off. And I suggested an email, because you can't cut off an email and you read it. But that email needs to be filled with the love of Christ to reveal the truth. That turns people. And what it does is it gives a platform for them to hear the Word of God and be saved. So what James has told us here is this is how we honor God. This isn't about us. This reveals our lostness or our walk with God by what comes out of our mouth. Because of who God is and because of His greatness, there should be no question in our hearts and in our minds as to what we want to come out of our mouth.
The preceding message was delivered by Pastor Jim at Lighthouse Baptist Church in St. George. For more information, you can look him up at www.lighthousesbc.org.